Only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by the zero on your telephone for an operator assistant. May I now hand over to Barbara Seidlova, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead.
Hello everyone. It's my pleasure to welcome today's speakers. As usual, I have Martin Novák, Chief Financial Officer here, and Pavel Cyrani, Chief Strategy and Sales Officer. I will now hand over to Martin, who will go through the first part of the presentation. Pavel will go through the second part, and then we will have room for questions. Now over to Martin.
Good afternoon, good morning everybody. So I will start with on slide three, where you can see highlights of our three quarters. Our operating revenue amounted to 156 billion Czech crowns, EBITDA 47.5 billion, net income 6.7. More important is adjusted net income that we use as a base for dividend of 16.9 billion. We had a few events actually that we are mentioning here. Electricity prices were, you know, we saw actually during the third quarter extreme rise in power prices, somewhere up to 160 euros per megawatt hour. We also had a situation here with one of the alternative players who had 900,000 customers actually not going out of business because their position was open. They sold electricity to customers, but they didn't buy it on time, and they just couldn't make it. So we are taking over as part of this collapse of Bohemia Energy a few hundred thousands of customers as a supplier of last resort. More specifically, 374,000 actually are falling into our hands that we expect majority of them staying with us. Plus, we are also getting some customers in gas, but I think Pavel will talk about it later. We sold Bulgarian assets on 27th of July, received 335 million euros. The arbitration with Bulgarian state still continues. It's not linked actually to the sale of assets. We decided not to sell our Polish assets due to economic environment in coal sector. Basically, the bid that we received, binding bid, were not attractive. So we decided to cancel the sale process, keep the assets, and actually take a few months to analyze the future of those of both locations that are mainly generating heat to local municipalities, and actually see what else could be actually done in those locations, and how to replace hard coal plants that are not something we would like to continue with long term. Financial results, as I said, there's EBITDA, net income, adjusted net income. Operating cash flows are at about half of what they were in Q1 through Q3. One of the important factors is actually daily margining on power exchange. With power prices going up to 160 euros, we needed about 700 million euros to actually provide to power exchange as a margining that is happening on a daily basis. So that's one of the reasons why our operating cash flow was relatively low. On the other hand, now when the power prices have declined somewhat, we are getting money back from the power exchange. Then on the second part of the slide, you have a volumetric data on power generated and sales of heat and workforce and so on. So I will skip on that and go to slide five, where you can see comparison between our 2020 Q1 through Q3 2020 compared to current year. Our Decline on EBITDA on current assets is 0.3 billion Czech crowns, so basically flat EBITDA, 44.9 for this year versus 45.2 for previous year. The biggest decline is actually on something that we call, divested assets, which is Bulgaria and Romania. The reason is very simple. It's basically timing. During Q1 through Q3 of last year, we had those assets on our books for full year versus 2021. Actually, we disposed Romanian assets after the end of first quarter and Bulgarian assets on 27th of July. So we did not have them in our books for the full first quarter. You can see actually a few negative developments in generation segment. It's in total 3.4 billion Czech crowns. Negative 1.9 coming from generation, which is caused mainly by higher gas prices. So we were running our CCGT less, more expensive carbon credits than in the previous year, and also impact of hedging and exchange rate. Trading made 2.8 billion Czech crowns in the first 9 months, and 1.8 was actually made in third quarter due to high volatility of prices, which is still 0.4 billion below last year, which was a record year. So we are happy with our trading results, but in comparison with last year, they are 0.4 billion lower. And then specific effects, which is mainly timing difference in our derivatives, 1.1 billion negative. Mining operations were doing better than last year, 800 million Czech crowns, mainly due to higher supplies to our coal plants. Compared to last year, they were running higher output just because last year, for part of the spring, the demand for electricity was fairly low. Due to COVID COVID manufacturing being closed. Distribution, 700 million plus, mainly due to more distributed electricity. We are now back on 2019 numbers or pre-COVID numbers, as you will see later on. And, of course, sales are a function also of distributed electricity, so plus 1.6 billion Czech crowns compared to last year. On next slide, you can actually see changes below EBITDA. We have higher impairments for first three quarters of this year, mainly driven by second quarter impairments of coal mining operations. So there is 6.2 billion Czech crowns higher impairments. We have also somewhat higher depreciation and amortization caused by shortening the lifetime of certain coal assets. On the other hand, it's partly compensated by lower depreciation due to impairment of the assets of coal mining business, meaning there is a lower asset base and that's why also lower annual depreciation. On next slide, you can see development of power prices. Today, the power prices are around 120 euros per megawatt hour for next year, with 60 euros for carbon credits. And it's actually declining somewhere to 75 euros, 70-ish euros actually in 3-4 years' time. But for next year, those are the pricing levels that we see here, which are pretty much record prices compared to whatever we have seen in the past. We are continuing in our hedging policy. Important slide number 8. Here you can actually see how hedged we are. So for 2022, we are at about 79% hedged. With 54.1 average achieved price. The level of hedges is declining from 2020 to 2023, where it is 49%, 2024 21%, and 2025 4%. with the average achieved prices shown on the chart. Also, at the same time, we are hedging our carbon credits that are for next year hedged at the level of 31.1 and growing to something like 40.4 euros for 2024. With current prices, we are selling actually at a higher level than you can see here. So there is a positive effect or impact in the future years, both on 2022, but even more 23 and 24. So good environment in terms of power prices. We actually are progressing in meeting our decarbonization targets. Emission intensity has decreased year on year by 12%. So we are on 0.28 of tons of CO2 per megawatt hour produced, which means we are well below actually current emission of a marginal power plant in Germany, but also below emissions of CCGTs that actually are used to generate power in our region as well. So we are actually on a good track in terms of decarbonization goals. On slide 10, there are selected events of the past quarter that I will probably not go through. You can go through it yourself. You have probably done it. It relates both to nuclear development of the current units and also fulfilling our ESG targets. On the next slide, you can actually see our guidance. We decided to increase our guidance for both on EBITDA on adjusted net income. Our original guidance from August 10th was 58 to 60 billion Czech crowns. Now we are actually moving the bottom of 58 to actually 59, and at the same time narrowing the band, so 59 to 60 billion Czech crowns. And we are moving net income by 1 billion, both the lower part of the range and the upper part of the range. So from 18 to 20, we are moving to 19 to 21 billion Czech crowns. With actually the reasons described on the slide. So this is actually a general overview and adjustment of our guidance. And now I will quickly go through performance of our generation mining segment. So on slide 13, you can see actually EBITDA of our generation segment and mining segments, and both in terms of billions of Czech crowns, but also terawatt hours generated and the millions of tons mined. The reasons actually for the decline on the generation segment and on the other hand, better results on mining were described at the beginning of the presentation when I was covering variance versus 2020. So those are just the numbers and I'm not going to repeat it again. Let's move actually to next slide, actually to generation segment EBITDA. Existing assets. This is providing information on the details of how much actually EBITDA was generated by nuclear plants, renewables, fossil fuels trading. Again, all the reasons for the movements were already provided. What's important to say, I think that fossil fuel generation is at about 50% of last year result. Which is driven by the fact of higher carbon credits, as I said, and a relatively narrower margin that was achieved for 2021 with the forward sales in the past. Generation on slide 15 in terms of volume. So nuclear was basically flat and is running close to full speed. Renewables about 1% decline, with high volatility. Czech Hydro is plus 11%, German Wind minus 24, mainly due to worse than average weather conditions and some maintenance. Those are the main factors, and we actually achieved almost the same result, 24.8 versus 25 terawatt hours produced. Our estimate is very close to that. We assume to produce 2% more on nuclear for full year, 4% less on renewables, and overall we would be 1% higher, which is 34.4. So this is actually fossil fuel-free generation. Fossil fuel electricity, we saw a decline of 18% on our power plants, and the same result is expected actually for a full year. The main reasons are actually shown on gas assets. We assume 19% decline mainly due to market conditions, expensive gas these days, so it's not efficient to run Počerady power plant as much as it was last year. On coal generation portfolio, there is actually an important factor of selling power plant Počerady as of the end of 2020, which was pretty big plant, so it was 3.5 terawatt hours that we had for full year, for first 9 months of last year, and actually full year of last year was 40.9 terawatt hours, which is significant. We don't have that plant as of January 1, so that's an important factor. And we also discontinued operations at Prunéřov power plant, which is 0.6 terawatt hours for first 9 months. We had longer outages at Tušimice power plant and so on. So that's the reason why we have lower power generation at those assets compared to 2020. Mining, on next slide, you can actually see basic information on mining, how many million tons we actually extracted, and what is an EBITDA impact. EBITDA impact of 800 million Czech crowns improvement is mainly coming from higher supplies to our existing power plants. And now I will hand over to Pavel to guide you through distribution and sales segment.
Okay. Martin, thank you. Let's look at the distribution and sales segment. I'll skip page 19, which is a summary of the numbers, but I'll comment them on later pages. You see that year on year on page 20, we see a 6% growth in distribution segment EBITDA, which is driven, and that is on the lower in the lower part of the page, mainly by higher volume of distributed electricity by 7% or 1.7 terawatt hour. On the next page, you see on the left-hand side that it is across both of the main segments, residential customers and the large industrial customers. Both of them are driven by two different factors. For the residential customers, it's mainly the fact that the winter of 2021 was rather cold, and also we still had a lot of people staying home because of COVID in the first and second quarter, which meant a significantly higher consumption for the residential customers. And even with that, already in the second half of the year, second quarter and third quarter, we also see the economy bouncing back after COVID, which is driving the large customer consumption. Now, on the supply side, on page 22, basically the same effect translating also into the growth of retail segment growth by 0.9 billion year on year, or 36%, which is mostly driven by the growth of the supply volume, both in electricity and gas. And in the B2B side, with ESCO companies, we see also the signs of recovery after COVID, with overall 0.5 billion growth. Now, on page 23, you see also the numbers. In terms of retail, there is a 13% growth of consumption. Now, There is a similar growth of in electricity as for distribution, but a significantly higher for gas. Gas is obviously more sensitive for use for heating, so the colder winter translated into higher growth of gas. And in terms of number of customers, you see that overall it's pretty much flat with a 4% growth in the gas, where we are not the incumbent, and where we are still getting quite a number of new customers, and a flat development on the electricity side. Obviously, Martin mentioned the fact that beginning of October, a major independent supplier lost its license, which translated into these customers being transferred under the deliver or supply of last resort, which is basically set by the footprint of the original distribution. So for quite some part of Czech Republic, it's CHES. For other parts, it's E.ON and PRE in electricity, and similarly, Energy, again, E.ON and Prague gas supply company for gas. For us, it meant a little under 400,000 customers being transferred into this supplier of last resort. Obviously, this is a regulated business where the prices are regulated to cover the justified cost. So this is not a profit-making thing. What we are obviously trying to do, both for the sake of the customers and for the sake of growth of our business, offer these customers to stay with us even after they leave the supplier of last resort. Already more than a half of the 400,000 customers left or asked to be transferred, and a significant share are staying with us. So especially the number of customers for electricity will see a jump in the later months. And obviously, once the customers are staying with us, we are offering also to them to stay with us with gas, so also the gas numbers will go up, even though we are not the supplier of last resort for gas. So, energy services, as I said, we see signs of recovery after COVID, mostly in Germany. Germany is recovering the fastest. Czech Republic and Slovakia also recovering fairly well. In terms of Poland, which is the dark green, Poland is a little bit slower in recovery, but we hope that the pace is picking up, so we hope to see the recovery to come also there by the year end. And I think this is it from my side, and we are ready for questions.
We will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 0 and 2 to cancel your question. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset for making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. As a reminder, if you want to ask a question, please press 0 and 1. We have a first question. It's from Barton de Castan. The line is now open for you. Barton, your line is open now. As a reminder, if you want to ask a question, please press 0 and 1. We have a first question. It's from Barton de Castan. The line is now open for you. The line is now open for you, Barton. Our next question is by William Buring, Wood & Company. The line is now open for you.
Hi, this is Bram Buring, Wood & Co. A very small question. I was looking at your percentage of power sold forward for 2020, and the increase quarter on quarter was relatively modest. This is because you were not particularly interested in selling power at these prices, or what's the dynamic with regards to that, please?
I'm just looking at it, and there's no specific change that we would do in terms of selling forward. We obviously sometimes, and we struggle with the fact that especially for the later years, the clean spread for lignite went to a situation where we're not selling at all, and we're waiting for the spread to increase. So that could be one of the impacts. Otherwise, we are not really changing this. So for 24, especially 25, there are situations where the clean spreads were so low that we decided that we would not be hedging this level of clean spreads, and we would be either waiting for them to increase, or if they were to prevail, then probably lower our production and produce more only in winter and less in the summer.
But generally speaking, it's our hedging policy, so we are hedging in a linear way. We are kind of playing with the volume, trying to sell more or less depending on the power prices. That's a rule of trading, so speculate on the movement of the prices, but we don't speculate with the physical volume that we are about to deliver within the following 3 years.
Okay. Maybe I can ask my question slightly differently. What is the demand for forward power at these levels? Are you seeing buyers as you might usually expect, or are buyers waiting for prices to come down?
See, the liquidity in the region is so high. We typically, for the further years, we actually sell forward on EEX, and then we roll it back to the Czech commodity exchange 1 year before delivery. And the liquidity, from our perspective, for the volumes that we need to sell, is okay. It's fine. We don't see like significant decrease in liquidity.
Okay, so it's really down to what kind of spreads you can lock in at the current macro. Great. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
The next question is by Java Gajinska, Citibank. The line is now open for you.
Hi, hello. It's Piotr Dzięciołowski from Citi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. I have two questions, really. So the first one I have on the retail electricity bills in Czech Republic. Can you say how much they are meant to increase between, let's say, beginning of 2021 versus the kind of 2021, 2022 and 2023? You know, what kind of a end customer bill pressure we're talking about? And as you look through the outcome of the political elections, have you seen in any of the parties on the agenda some kind of ideas about the intervention in this retail market? So that's the first question. And maybe second question I ask straight away, when it comes to the Polish asset disposal, can you say anything, maybe a range or anything, of what were the bids for the assets? You know, too low doesn't mean much, you know. Was it, or at least you can say what the multiple level was, or, you know, what were the levels that you were happy with and so on. Thank you.
Well, in terms of prices, the one indication, it differs significantly across the way you use electricity, whether you only use it for the light and cooking or for actually water, for like heating water or actually heating the whole houses. But we, if you look at the most common product with the highest number of people, which is basically a regular family using electricity for lighting and cooking, their invoice increases about 30% year on year between 2021 and 2022.
Okay.
Now, in terms of interventions, no, you don't hear that much. There was a discussion, you know, the some of the comments that you can hear is whether or not the energy regulator should not check the suppliers, whether they are hedged enough, whether they have enough electricity actually purchased for the customers before winter. So these were some of the topics, but it has not been translated in any concrete proposal yet that would be discussed. Just to mention that there is actually a security standard for gas. For gas, the suppliers need to buy gas storage and need to store actually physically gas before the winter. So these were, you know, these were some of the topics discussed also for electricity, but no discussion on actual regulation. And in terms of the Polish assets, we will not provide any further details. They are actually, this is all about what we can say.
So, and if I can just follow up on this electricity bill rises, maybe just a small follow-up question. Do you see any demand destruction, signs of demand destruction across more industrial customers where when you give them a new price for next year, they say, oh, maybe, you know, we want to change something, or, you know, maybe the volumes will not be as high. Do you see any signs of this?
For industrial customers, you mean?
For any customers, but I guess, you know, for retail, you that's insensitive. That's why I ask more about industrial.
Yeah. No, we don't. We actually, the overall kind of recovery after COVID that we see actually drives consumption up. So we don't see really a reduction. Actually, if there is a reason for reduction, it's not driven by electricity. You know, there is the chip shortage in the automotive, and it's the, you know, like these things that the supply chain problems after COVID in other areas, but not the electricity prices, at least not yet.
Sure. Thank you very much.
For the moment, there are no further questions in the line, so I hand back to you.
Okay, so thank you everyone for taking part. And as always, if some additional questions come up to your mind, please do not hesitate to contact Investor Relations. Thank you and have a good rest of the day.
Goodbye. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.